No surprise, it still continues to be the quiet holiday trade mode, but got some good export sales information that came out today. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield, and joining me, Arlen Suderman over at StoneX. So really nice numbers for corn, not so much on the beans and the wheat. What was your takeaway of those numbers this morning?
Yeah, robust corn export sales. Of course, this is for the week ending December 18, as USDA still hasn't caught up with releasing export sales data after the partial government shutdown we had earlier this fall. They should catch up by next week, and we're looking forward to that with two reports next week. But through the week ending December 18th, that week corn export sales, 86.7 million bushels of current year and 0.8 million bushels of next year's crop. Grain sorghum sales, very strong. Some of these elevators who have a lot of grain sorghum piled up would be happy to see that. 12.5 million bushels, primarily to China and unknown destinations. Soybeans, 36.3 million bushels of current year to 200,000 bushels of next year's crop. Wheat, very disappointing net, 5.4 million old crop and 1.7 million new crop. The smaller wheat sales number was partially because we had a cancellation in there. It had been widely reported already, China canceling 4.7 million bushels of soft wheat that had previously purchased. Mexico was a featured buyer of U.S. corn at a net 32.8 million bushels during the week of current year and another 800,000 bushels of next year's crop, while China was the featured buyer of U.S. soybeans at 22.7 million bushels. But even that's a low number. Very disappointing. The impressive part of this, Susan, is that when you look at marketing year to date through December 18th, corn export sales to date exceed the seasonal pace needed to hit USDA's already record high export target of 3.2 million bushels by about just shy of 300 million bushels. Now, on the soybean side, we fall short of the seasonal pace needed to hit USDA's target for the year by 227 million bushels, but that number is slowly shrinking as China buys, so we're moving in the right direction there. But look for another increase in the export target for corn in the January crop report.
I thought it was interesting as well, when you look at the big picture of agriculture in general, all commodities, many that we don't talk about here on this program, but the biggest losers, as you talked about earlier today, were like orange juice, cocoa, rough rice, and lumber as well, seeing a big drop during this marketing year.
Yeah, absolutely. If you go year-to-date through midday today, orange juice down 56.5% on the year. Quite a drop there. Cocoa, for those of you who love your cocoa, down 42.4%. Rough rice down 35.3%. I don't think we have any rough rice producers in the Nebraska area. Lumber, though, building a new house, down 23.1% on the year. Not really seeing that follow through to new home construction prices at this point to that extent. Unfortunately, wheat was there at down 19.3% year to date. Corn down 13.4%. Overall, the one positive in the ag side was soybean oil up 15%, and that's largely due to expectations that we're going to have a favorable biofuel program going forward, but that's well off of the highs because the lack of EPA giving any clarity there yet. We're still waiting for those results. Oats down 8.6%, canola down 8.9%, so soybeans down 2.8%. That's a market that's probably seen the biggest amount of movement, right now down 2.8% on the year.
Arlen, what do you see with Fed Reserve going into the new year, knowing there will be a change at the helm and of course the continued focus for a push for lower numbers?
The expectation is that the Federal Reserve is going to continue to cut interest rates because of the pressure from the White House. But I think there's other factors involved as well. Now, I don't agree with the pressure from the White House. I want to make that clear. But I think they would probably be lowering interest rates anyway. because there's an academic feeling on this Federal Reserve Board, in my opinion, that sees the so-called neutral rate of interest rates much lower than what I see it. They still think that the interest rates are being restricted. And if that's the case, then we should see more strength in the economy from these interest rate cuts than what we do. Now, the economy is growing faster than what most people think. 4.3% in the third quarter, robust growth there. But that was before most of the interest rates occurred. I think most of the sluggishness in the jobs market, which is what people think of when they look at the economy, is due to the fact that of the uncertainty in the economy, because employers are not filling empty positions as they occur, waiting for more certainty in the business community. I think we will see more certainty in the year ahead as President Trump changes his leadership strategy ahead of the midterm elections. And I think with the tax incentives in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so-called, that go into effect on January 1, that we'll see more growth in the economy in this coming year. Consumer confidence, I think, will pick up. The economy should grow at a fairly good clip. And that could end up being good for commodities in 2026 as well.
Do you think from a livestock perspective, we're going to continue to deal with very heavy-weighted cattle going at least into the first quarter of the new year?
Yeah, I do think so. And part of it is that's what the market's been rewarding. And then corn has been cheap. I mentioned how much corn is down year on year. The double-digit declines that we've seen percentage-wise, feeding them has been feeding margins have been there to reward putting on more weight. And with the tightness of supplies of cattle, the way to fill that gap is to import beef and to feed the carcasses to heavier weights. And by doing those two things, we have essentially closed the gap on the shortage of beef this year relative to last year, with production very similar to year-ago levels because of imports and those heavier carcass weights. So I do think those carcass weights are going to remain relatively high.
And as we wrap up our conversation in 2025, for you, what was your marketing high as you look over the entire year, whether it was grain or livestock?
Well, obviously, livestock had the best performers of the year. It had a big roller coaster ride in doing so. I think grain and oilseed producers would have taken that kind of roller coaster if they could have had the higher prices. So therefore, livestock production overall did perform better than what grain and oilseeds did. Probably the loser of the year would have been wheat production, followed closely by corn, largely because those input costs staying pretty high for corn, especially. Soybeans performed better than we expected because of the late year trade deal with China. Not saying anyone's real pleased with these prices, but it could have been much worse without that trade deal.
Well, Arlen, we wish you a very happy new year and looking forward to our conversations into 2026.
Happy New Year to you, Susan, and to all of our listeners, and look forward to talking to you in the new year and a more prosperous new year, hopefully.
Very well put. Arlen Suderman joining us today with StoneX. A quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss not suitable to all investors. That's the Wednesday market wrap-up right here on the American Ag Network.